You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I'm feeling a little subconscious about not wearing a hat on a show that 90% of people listen to.
Interesting. I'm happen to think about that one.
90% of people listen to the show, so that means for 90% of the people, it doesn't matter.
Okay, right. Duh. Okay, of course. But I would think that if either of us would be conscious or self-conscious about not wearing a hat, it would be me.
Oh, no, Rob. I've seen pictures of you with hair.
I say, oh, God.
Sorry to just drop that in there, but...
But on the other hand, I say let the dome glow. And
I say let it fly, baby, because that Costco card really needs a new picture. That's all I'm going to say.
That thing is, let's see, Jacob is 16. That picture's probably 18, 20 years old.
Wow.
Some of you listening are not even that old, so would be my hunch. Anyways, thank you for joining us today. We're on episode, listen to this, 1001, which means we're on our way to 2000.
Oh, that's a lot to take in. That is so much to take in, Rob. You know what? I'm overwhelmed because I got my webinar tonight. I'm preparing for that, making it all cherry and beautiful for everyone. And thinking of another 1,000 shows is borderline overwhelming. But my favorite thing right now during the week to do is podcasting, second to flying. So
it's fun. I agree.
It is a lot of fun. It really is. But anyway, let's go ahead and move on to today's question, which is actually brought to you by our friends at Loom Cube. At Loom Cube, they literally just came out with a brand new strobe for any drone, no matter what drone you're using. It literally is as easy as 1, 2, 3. And see, now it's strobing in our eyes. And as you can see, Rob is literally going blind right now. 1, 2, 3, turn it off. If you wanna go ahead and turn it on or do different levels, you can literally just keep pressing. It'll even do a solid light if you're looking for a little solid light action.
If you want colors.
If you want colors, you can even change the color. But for those of you who are flying at civil twilight or you're flying at night, you know that you need a light that can be seen for 3 statute miles. So what does that mean? That means you need a light. And you know that there are lights out there because we have promoted a light. They sold out and then they stopped answering our emails. So we are extremely happy to be working with Loom Cube, because what they're doing is they are making FAA compliance more convenient. And that means that they're bettering the industry, which means I'm all on board. So Loom Cube, great job. So I actually want to show everyone, if you want to check it out really quick, this is a little footage that we did. I actually realized that my slider is broken. Got some glitchy footage, but this is the Loom Cube.
So talk about the idea of putting it on the battery, right? Because that was a really nice idea that you had instead of on the front of the drone.
So you can see I have 2 Mavics here, and I love flying or having both Mavics because they both have very, very great uses on their own. So what I did is, as you can see here in this particular clip, is what I did is I actually put the Loom Cube strobe and mounted it to the battery. That way I can just switch batteries from drone to drone instead of worrying about moving the light, because once you mount this tape, you never want to really move it or take it off again, because that's going to inhibit its structural integrity. And because what happens if this light falls off the drone? Very simple, that you're going to lose the drone, because if it hits a prop, then you're really screwed. So doing this the right way is just so critical, Rob, and it's one of those things that I got to be honest with you, It just makes life easier. So that's why I put it on the battery. Now I will be needing multiple pieces of duct tape, excuse me. But the good news is that we have it here. It works, and I'm really excited to use it. Really excited. So if you look in our show notes, there will be a description in the show on a commission. You can also use Sorry. You can also use...
You mean a discount?
So I'm not actually sure because we were supposed... It was supposed to be discount slash commission. I don't know why I said commission just now. That goes to show that I'm totally thinking about something else and I said the word commission.
Well, so, because they can get... Folks can get 10% off, right, by using the coupon code DRONEU. Is that still valid?
That is still valid, but you have to actually, like, click the link, go to the lead page, and type the code in there. So that way it does give you a discount, not a commission. A very important difference here. But if you go to bit.ly/loomcubestrobe, check it out, and I will send you the official link to put in there. Because I actually just realized we have two links now. So whatever. Yeah, actually, if you click that code, sorry that I'm rambling here on this advertisement. I don't really care. If you click the Bitly link that I just mentioned, it gives people 15% off
automatically
all Loom Cube products.
Nice.
So remember that little discount we were talking about a couple shows ago?
Yeah.
Boom. Hope you're paying attention. All right.
There it is.
Thank you, Loom Cube. Check it out in the description below. Click that link. Get yourself a Loom Cube strobe. Yes, there are other strobes out there. Some of them may even be lighter. I'm not really sure how they're lighter, but I have to say, ease of use, convenience, and the fact that I love Loom Cube, we're going with Loom Cube.
So please share that little bit of knowledge and information with your friends and family as you share the show. We would really appreciate that.
Hey, Paul and Rob, this is David from El Paso, Texas. I've been a DRONEU member for about 2 years and have had my business for the same amount of time. Thank you guys for everything you do. I just had a quick question. I just started teaching a drone course at the local community college, and I was wondering, should the drone industry have certified flight instructors like they do in manned aviation? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan. Really do appreciate it. And I think this is an ongoing, I guess I would call it a debate. I think there are a lot of people that would say no. I think we would say yes. But I think the bigger question is, who gives that certification? Is it?
I think that, that is a great question, Rob. I actually wonder if we would have really said yes a few months ago. At least I would have wondered that myself. It wasn't until the FAA symposium. In fact, if you remember, I was a day late to the FAA symposium because summer travel on the airlines has been particularly chaotic for numerous reasons. Number one is increased weather this summer. But as you know, whenever school gets out, summer traffic on airlines skyrockets. So summer traffic is increasing. People are traveling. And most airlines have between 20 and 40 airplanes completely out of service because of the 737 MAX issues. So got there a day late. And it was interesting because I was going through Vic's notes. He's like, here's my notes. Check them out. Like, you know, what do you want to talk about first? And one of the things that was in his notes was that who the hell are these instructors asking questions? And I said, Vic, why did you write this? And he's like, you will not believe some of the people that after an FAA session would go up to the front of the room on the microphone and say, hey, I'm with... XYZ University, an actual accredited university. And then they're asking questions about like basic airspace rules that should be covered in part 107. Like these things should be like really, really clear to people who are instructing. Anyway, so I wrote it off anyway. I was like, okay, it's probably not a big deal, but whatever. The next day, I go into the FAA enforcement talk. This is actually how we got to line up Charles Raley coming on the show and discussing enforcement. And, you know, he's a chief prosecutor, so he's got a lot to say. But at the end of his enforcement, you know, I went up there and I was all, hey, you know, we now know there are confirmed cases of people shooting drones out of the sky. There were 3 to 4 last week. You know, 18 USC 32 says this is an aircraft. Someone shoots it down. There are penalties for that. You know, what is the FAA doing or who are they working with to essentially, you know, go further down the line? And we heard a little bit of what he said in the podcast. He went a little bit deeper in the conference room when we weren't recording. But then another guy comes up and we're sitting there talking about enforcement, drone shooters, and going after egregious illegal drone operators, okay? So I just want to set the stage for what this entire hour-long conversation was about. Hmm. One very specific subject.
Yeah.
This guy from, and he said he was from the University of South Florida, and he goes up there, he's like, I'm from the University of South Florida, And he's like, when I'm flying around Tampa, it says that we're supposed to call the airport operating authority whenever we're flying in this particular area, but it's Class G airspace. And I literally wanted to like stand up and be like, what? Like, what? Like, what are you asking? Like, have you been in the same room for the last hour?
You like, just reminded me of the Allstate commercial. No, not Allstate. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Mayhem, Mayhem. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, turn right now. Like, whoa, dude. Anyway, and I'm looking at Vic, and Vic looks at me like, we're talking about enforcement, right? I mean, like, he knows he's in Class G airspace. He doesn't have to notify anybody. Like, how are you an instructor at an accredited university, right? Like, what? And then, like, I'm looking at the FAA just to see how they respond to this guy, because he's looking at his notebook for whatever reason. And I looked at the FAA, and one FAA guy rolls his eyes at another FAA guy. And I looked at Vic, and I was like, did you see that? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, that's why I wrote it in my notes. So he's like, this is the fifth or sixth person who's a quote-unquote drone instructor who asks these questions that literally should be covered, like, on day one of the Part 107, like, test prep exam. And it was just like, yeah, no, I know. So I was like, maybe, you know, AUVSI, if you're not familiar, AUVSI created a program for certifying drone operators and certifying drone instructors, two separate programs. But it's a trade association. They've literally been focused on military probably for the last 10 years. It wasn't until the last 2 years they started focusing on drones. And now they have probably one of the better drone conferences now. But that being said, while, you know, we want to work with AUVSI because we feel that we have a significant amount of experience in training other people and common problems, common nuances that happen. And we feel that we can provide a great deal of help and aid when it comes to creating a program that ensures that people not only do what they say that they're going to do, but they have real experience, real knowledge, that they've actually gone through practical flight experiences that show them what to do right and what to do wrong. Because as soon as someone learns to do it wrong and then they have some sort of experience that causes them to have an emotional reaction or response, typically they'll never do that thing again. So,
yeah, well, I mean, take many of the trades that people get licensed in, take plumbing, take electricity, yeah, any of those things. You have to work under somebody and gain the experience in the real world prior to having your own, call it full license, right?
Yeah.
So why would something like this be any different? The more we think about it, I would say we're still evolving in our thought process as it relates to this. And again, part of that is because where does it come from?
Well, and that's a really good point because I actually, so Tracy Lamb was like the tops, I'm going to call her the orchestrator. She was, you know, in charge of running this program. Someone new is running the program. She actually went up to, she talked to Vic about it for a while and said, you know, if you guys want to be a part of it, you know, you should go over here, which I just thought was nice because for the last 3 years, we've been trying to be a part of it. And they haven't listened to anything that we've said, which is unfortunate. Now that we have the attention of them, I think it's fantastic. After seeing the program, though, as with most programs, especially the DJI UTC program, there is so much that's not in there. It's like sending someone out with a certificate that says, you know how to eat Skittles. Good job.
Well, that's a great certificate to have.
Just... I mean, hey, I like to taste the rainbow.
That can mean a lot of things right now. But
Skittles, Rob! Skittles! Talking about magical fruit candy. Okay? Well, anyway.
Somebody hijacked that rainbow from somebody. I'm not sure which.
But. Yeah, we don't need to talk about the freaking rainbows and unicorns, okay?
There's, well, anyway. You just brought them up. Anyway.
Anyway, okay? Life is not like rainbows and unicorns. All right, so long story short is that these programs, this AUVSI program, at first I was like, why is a trade organization coming up with how to teach people how to fly drones, because this is like a systemic problem in large enterprise businesses. That's why more and more people are coming to DroneU, is because it's like, hey, we're noticing that certain DroneU pilots just operate in a fundamentally different way. And I'm like, actually, you can tell if someone's been trained by us in the first 30 seconds of them pulling out the drone out of their bag. Like literally the first 30 seconds, you can tell if they're DroneU trained or not. And I mean, in-person trained. Anyway, long story short is, we want to be a part of that because we feel that there's a lot that's not in there that actually inhibits the safety of pilots that could cause major liability, major issues with people. I will say I've seen some of the TOPS certified instructors, and I think they're just as bad as some of the people that were at the FAA symposium asking some of these dim-witted questions that you really wonder if they were even in the room for like the last 2 hours. Like, have you been listening this whole time? But anyway, long story short is we are here to answer a question about, do you think there should be certified flight instructors from the FAA? Before I answer that question, I just want to recap with what I just said. Number one, I don't think a trade organization or trade association that has absolutely zero legal implications whatsoever is going to be a good thing for our industry. The reason I say that is because of what the surveying industry is trying to do to drones right now. The whole rent-seeking behavior, the whole trying to scare people. They're just a trade association, yet they could literally send someone a letter that scares the out of them so much, could cause them a heart attack, and they die. Yet they're doing nothing wrong. Think about it. Think about it. Rent-seeking behavior could actually be deadly, depending on how far you want to take it.
Wow.
So, that being said, do I think that the AUVSI TOPS program is a good answer to the problem of creating certified instructors, or do I think that any trade-based program is a good idea for training instructors? And I would say 90% no. I would say, again, unless you go back to what you said earlier, which is if there is a group that has a way to be objective, not have a conflict of interest, be fully focused on how to actually train people for safety to inhibit problems, but also give them knowledge, give them experience where they can utilize this training to be a better pilot, but also make knowledgeable decisions concerning what they should do, but in a risk-based fashion.
Sure. Which I'm sure those that are involved in that program with AUVSI have that in mind, and you know, whether the execution is...
I actually completely disagree. And I'm totally going to
really?
Shut you down right now. Yes.
Well, that was rude.
I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
So is AUVSI. They're rude too. But anyway, so I'm rude as well.
Wait a minute.
Let's call a spade a spade. All right. So that being said, going back to this whole thing, you know,
So I just want to clarify. So what you're about to imply is that they don't care about things like safety and making sure people...
Yes. Here's why. It's actually the proof is in the pudding so well, I don't even need to go on a rant. I don't need to say how much I don't like someone because what they're doing is wrong. And
said that we actually would like to work with them. We like what they're doing. So
we like the ideology.
Let's keep that as the foundation.
But here's what they're not doing.
Okay.
The FAA already has laws built into 91.159. I can't remember the actual code, but they have rules and regulations, not laws, concerning flight schools, instructors, and practical things. There's actually...
For manned aircraft.
Okay, but hold on one second. There is actually a standard for... a system for instructors, how they're supposed to be, act, how much they're supposed to fly, how often, like everything. The FAA really thought that through. So there is a standard. I can't remember the name of the standard. In fact, I don't want to give it out because I don't want our competition to figure this out and then try to one-up us, because I think we should try to one-up the TOPS program, because the FAA has a very specific protocol for flight instructors and for schools. And in fact, the ASTM board is considering creating advice and guidelines for the FAA for certified flight instructors. And I told the ASTM board head that I am 100% on board with helping create a program that maintains the 91 or the 14 CFR 91 provisions of certified flight instructors that are relevant to drone operators.
To drone pilots.
And here's a really, really, really big point, Rob, right? FAA says we're not going to have drone delivery, writes it completely out of 107. No drone delivery.
Right.
Google Wing, Amazon Air, last month or two, we're going to start delivering drones this year. We don't give a crap what the FAA says. They didn't say that, but they do give a crap what the FAA says. They did something that has been done in government agencies for the last 40 years, and I have not been privy to that knowledge until I had some really great meetings at the FAA this in Baltimore. And you know what that is? When the FAA doesn't know what to do, you know what they do?
They help them figure out what to do.
No, they help a private entity figure out what to do, and then they use that as the standard, and then they use that. But once they have their own standard, they expect everyone to use that standard. So, sure. For example, Google Wing, FedEx, Amazon, they all go under Part 135.
UPS. Yeah.
UPS, all under Part 135. Mm-hmm. So they are now an air carrier. They are utilizing the same old school laws for air carriers, but only for what is relevant to their machines. So they are completely bypassing 107. They're going 135, and they are creating a new standard and protocol. I would bet you a large amount of money with a high degree of confidence that whatever protocol they come up with in place will be a part of the new remote ID and the new UTM.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand what you're saying in terms of the overall conclusion to the point that you just made. This is sort of the natural way of how things work, and that's okay. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that.
Okay,
so I am not saying
clarify
it's okay.
What you're saying.
Okay, let me take this step back. Okay, part number one, trade organization should not be the governing body for a certificate to showcase that drone pilots are knowledgeable and able to mitigate risk in the field, especially when most of the people in that trade organization do not even have a Part 107 license. Actually, I challenge you, how many people at AUVSI have a Part 107 license? Figure it out. This answer will surprise you. Long story short, trade organization should not have a certificate ability.
Okay.
Point number two, there is an existing system for certifying flight instructors. It's just on a different type of aircraft. Okay. So when you say that point number three, that you're saying, hey, Paul, I think you're saying that AUVSI's program is not actually creating safe pilots. Is that what you're trying to say? I'm saying yes. I'm saying there's already an existing standard of how to create safe pilots and instructors for creating safe pilots that the FAA already uses. And I'm saying that either DroneU or the FAA with DroneU's advice through the ASTM should come up with a certified flight instructor for the United States. Otherwise, you are going to have people like the guy from USF and like the guy from, I can't even believe some of the colleges that literally put people on stage. It was like, wait a minute, you're an Ivy League school and you just put this guy on stage? This goes to show everything that's wrong with college. Like literally, like it is a metaphor for everything that's wrong with college. Anyway, long story short is going back for, there's an existing standard. Let's parallel that with drone delivery. There was an existing standard for air carriers.
That's what I was referring to when I said you're saying it's okay, because you're saying that it should happen, something similar should happen with the certification process.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I was referring to, not the AUVSI part of that conversation.
Sorry, I got a little caught up in the weeds here.
No, it's okay. So a couple clarifications I want to make. So I want to make this very, very clear. And that is, number one, what AUVSI was doing, they were actually doing with, we'll call it the blessing of the FAA. Is that true?
Doubtful. Actually, I don't think that that is true whatsoever at all or anything. Otherwise, the FAA would have given them some sort of authority to do that. But I can't say this on radio. FAA is not happy. Okay. That's all I can say. I can't say any more.
Okay, so number
two. They're expecting a standard to be met. It has not been met by the TOPS program.
Okay, so number two, I want to make this very clear. You're not suggesting, because you just said that a trade organization should not be the one to certify pilots.
Correct.
Then I'm sure you're saying, nor should we. You're just saying we want to be a part of helping the FAA do it.
Couldn't agree more.
And perhaps even in conjunction with AUVSI and what they've learned.
I agree as well.
Right.
I think AUVSI actually has put some people at the top that really want to support small pilots. Now, whether that those people are supported by the organization as a whole will be very interesting.
Remains to be seen.
Exactly. So again, I don't want to create also a system that 10 years down the line is going to be creating rent seeking behavior. You know, here's the example,
we'll
right?
We'll get into that in a show coming up.
Yeah, we will. but like imagine, you know, you've seen that little drone that fits in your pocket. It's under 250 grams. If they're able to get a gimbal and a decent sized sensor on that thing, you could be making killer freaking money, sub 250 grams. And then the TOPS program is like, Hold on a minute. Drone pilots have been making money with phantom drones doing measurements for 10 years. You can't just come in here with that little cell phone thing in your hand and do the same thing, because you're going to need to get a Part 107 license there, honey.
So you're projecting that something like that would happen, which is possible.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's for sure.
But it may not. No, I hear you, but it is possible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely possible.
And again, I've been kind of going through too. I'm like, you know what? I want to figure out what type of people are top certified instructors. So I started digging.
Are there very many?
I'm not sure I would say that there are very many.
Yeah, that's a very broad, vague term, I suppose. But
some of the people that were on that list, I'd flown with myself, and I was just like, I would never trust this person to give people the right advice.
And you know what? That's another good point, because I'm sure in that group of people that are top certified, if that's the right term, there are some great pilots. And
100%.
There are some great instructors. But the point that I've been wanting to make is that no matter, because yes, we would love to see some certification. I remember in some of my past life businesses, that separation between someone who's certified, licensed, tested, both via an actual test and work experience, et cetera, it means something, whether it was my CPA, mortgage, whatever. And I remember when the licensing came forth in the mortgage business before, it was the wild, wild west. It's part of what led to the whole problems in 2007 and 2008. Licensing came in right after that. And it cleaned house because people were participating in the wild, wild west. And when they had to get licensed, they said, yeah, I'm going to go sell used cars. And they got out really quick. And so I think something like that could happen here as well, where generally speaking, the right kind of people stay in.
Ooh, I think we're way too far in the market for that.
But no way. I mean, you don't think we were far in the market for mortgages when that licensing came and people left because of the licensing that they had to get? Now, we're talking about instructors.
Yeah, but the liability on a mortgage versus flying a drone is astronomically different.
Not necessarily. Not if you're just the broker. And especially if you're just the broker that doesn't own the business. You don't give a crap about that liability. It doesn't fall on you. It didn't. It does now in a way that it didn't then. But that's a whole nother point. My main point is that, very long-winded point, is that just because someone has a certification, even if we're a major part of determining what gets that certification, doesn't make them a good pilot or a good instructor. It makes them have the ability to pass a test.
Yeah.
Right? It is still valuable.
And that should be a practical test. That should not be an online test.
Absolutely. And that's probably something to work towards, because logistically that's asking a lot of people, because where are those testing opportunities going to happen? But it should happen.
I also think the FAA needs to spearhead this, because it's going to stop universities like Carroll University from doing things like, you know, and I'm calling them out because one of the instructors talked about this, and he's like, this is a problem. And I'd greatly appreciate it if you would talk about this. The problem is that a lot of these universities are taking the same guidance from like 2015 before Part 107, and using it as the rules and regulations for how everyone should operate drones across their university as if they own the airspace. And it's just like, why are we back to 2014, 2015 again? Like, there are very clear rules. There are very clear laws. You don't own the airspace. You're like, you can't make people register. You can't do that. Like, you know, there are very simple rules, and you can't just inhibit anyone from flying around. Anyway, long story short is that like the university system is taking information and they are disseminating information that is very old. And what I really hate about it is the fact that it's the thing that literally colleges tell you not to do over and over and over, that whole plagiarism thing. Literally, the thing that Carol did was said, hey, this is what Ohio blah, 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 university did. We're going to do the same thing. Go. Without having any way of saying, hold on a minute. This talks about the section 333. There's a new rule called Part 107, and that if you want to do X, Y, or Z, then you need to, you know, do this. And then I've seen a lot of universities skirt the whole rule of, and I know that this recently changed in 2018, but the furtherance of a business, I know that term is no longer a term. I still think it helps visualize the issue as a whole in my eyes. But, universities that are leveraging students and their work for the benefit of the university without any benefit to the student. It's like, well, hold on a minute here. I'm paying $40,000 a year to go to your school, and you're now going to use my photo that I took of your school, and you're not going to pay for it, and you're going to put it up and use it as advertising and marketing for the school. Hold on a minute here. This is a double standard.
Wow.
Okay. You need to, oh gosh, I really had to turn it down.
Think of what you
pay the pilot. Pay the pilot.
Think of what... Sorry. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, I
think
really
think of what you just said relative to college sports. You talk about a... I mean...
Couldn't agree more.
We're not going to get into that here, but you just opened that box and wow. Anyways.
Well, here's the thing is that once people realize that society really sets the rules of this country, it's going to be fascinating when people actually get up and start saying, you know what? We're not going to deal with that. Mm. Or the more FBI negotiation approach is, how do you expect me to comply with that? Remember, you have to wait for the silence, let them respond, whole nine yards. Okay. Anyway, but I'm sorry. I know this is going to ruffle some feathers. I don't care. I really don't care. AUVSI, we'd love to work with you. I think you missed the boat. I think the FAA should really be the standard. Then we could have like legitimate drone schools and we would love to be one ourselves, especially as we're opening up a new training center. Anyway, go for it.
No, as when we say, or when you say, I think you missed the boat,
I think your intentions were great, and now I see that, and I did not see that before. I see AUVSI's intentions, because going to the FAA symposium, I'm like, how are you teaching people how to fly drones? And in fact, we were talking about this on our pre-show, on our walk that we do at the park, and I was saying, you know, there's some people that are even in the Drone U community that are out there teaching Part 107, and... You know, we have very strict rules about people who use our material, and now I'm building in pixel tracking into everything. So if you use my shit, I will find out about it. But anyway, long story short, long story short is there are people who are teaching 107 and they're teaching airspace. And airspace is one of the most difficult things to really master, even teach. Okay. Yeah. And hold on, let me finish. I think it's important to say that after teaching tens of thousands of pilots here at Drone U, I personally still will not teach airspace. Every single time we do a Part 107 class, I fly in our CFI to talk about airspace. You know why? Because he talks about it in a way that's easily understood, it's retainable, and it's relatable.
Well, it's relatable because it's based on experience. And when he teaches it, he has story after story after story that is incredibly... interesting, but also helps you, the student, retain it. But one of the things that Ted said, and it actually bothered him even about us when he first started working with us, and he wanted to make sure that our philosophies matched. And he said, I refuse to participate if the goal is to teach simply to help them pass the test. We have to teach to help them understand the concepts that are being taught, because that's what they're going to need moving forward.
I agree.
And it's not all about passing the test. And so because obviously there are going to be people out there, and there are Drone U members that do it, and they teach in local community colleges and so forth. And I think that's a good thing. If we're creating the right structure and sort of knowledge base that they're then spreading, I think that's a good thing. We just want to make sure everybody has that philosophy in place. What I was going to say about AUVSI, and I just want to make sure that we don't have time now, but when you say something like they missed the boat, I think at some point we need to say why, how specifically, because they did a lot of good things.
They
right?
did do a lot of good things, but here's I think I've laid out enough reasons without giving away the farm, because I am not going to sit here on the show and tell AUVSI exactly how they missed the boat from an insider who works at a very powerful position, who told me this is a common theme that is an ideological theme that's going around, and I think you have an opportunity to say X, Y, and Z, and I think you should do it. And I've been to your training, and I think you really do care as much as you say that you do on the show, and it shows. And the whole philosophy of what you just mentioned about, you know, Drone U is not just about passing the test, it's about so much more. The proof is in the pudding, Rob. The proof is in the pudding. Look how many successful drone pilots there are. Look how many successful drone pilots there are that are also Drone U members. Because those Drone U members know that the key to creating a successful business is not just learning to pass the test, it's learning the intricate systems they're in. So that way they can solve a problem wherever they are, whenever there is a problem. So that way, if they're literally out on the job site and their drone does not work for whatever reason, they know exactly how to fix it. They know how to have emotional intelligence. They know how to react, and they have the experience and the confidence to handle that in a professional manner. It's those people that have the ideology of being teachable and understanding that it's not just about learning one concrete subject, but it's about learning one subject that builds on the next to create habits for safety so that you can actually execute more advanced maneuvers, so that way you can do more in the future. In fact, Rob, I think that you know, while I say that AUVSI missed the boat, you're right. I am not going to go into detail about how I think that they missed the boat, because I think that we have a phenomenal opportunity to work directly with the source to say, this is what we think you could implement as a government agency to say, I think you could solve this specific problem, this specific problem, this specific problem, if you knock out these specific issues. So
sure, sure. Absolutely. I just want to make it very clear that I don't want it to come across as we are the only people that have ideas, and we would want to collaborate in that process with people other than ourselves, right? Because there are a lot of people out there that are smart, have good ideas, and could contribute to
100%.
I know you're not saying that's not the case, but I just want to make that clear. It's about collaboration, because it is about the industry. It's not about us.
It is about collaboration, but it's also about collaborating with people who know what the F they're talking about.
Of course. I mean, we're not going to... Yes. I was going to say that
there's
goes without saying.
There's too many Beltway Bandits.
Would you stop that?
At up there. I'm tired of the Beltway Bandits. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. I can't...
Oh, get over it. You're fine. Let's just... focus on us and be good and be the best and help people, and we'll be fine.
Here's the thing, Rob, is that instead of talking about...
You're not going to get rid of all those people like you think you are.
Instead of talking about the problem, Rob, it's about talking about the solution.
Here. Fist me on that one. Now let's do it.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give away the farm and give them all the competitive advantage. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening to the show.
I hope you got some value out of this. I actually did.
Well... I think Rob's going to kill me off camera, so I'll let you know how that goes. See you later.
This is good.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.